Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Aw, bitch.
Oh, bitch. You okay there, Matt?
I'm good.
You ready to go?
I'm good. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast. I'm on a little 309. This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
You weren't. There we go.
Feel like it's been a while.
It has been a while.
Since I could say. Oh my God, you know, there's people out there that still like stains.
Of course there are.
Every time I do that on stream, Vithika actually sings a song. Something about candles lighting your face.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know the words.
She seems really cool, but consider she lives in Europe and probably never connected with stained the way we did over in stateside and
stainside.
Yeah. She thinks it's still like, oh, they were a cool American band and still are.
I don't think
they still like, are
cool. Mudshovel. That was dope.
Mudshovel was tight. Those
see, there you
complex bass lines
goes.
With two chords in them.
There he goes.
This is what you do.
That's what I do. Yeah. I rock out to fucking great music with my tiny cock out.
I'm on the outside.
Hey, now let's be fair. I'm Fred Durst.
I can see through you, see you're the real you, 'cause inside you're ugly, ugly like me.
What's after that?
I can see through you.
See your true color.
That's it.
Is that
nice,
it?
Maybe.
Nice.
I don't know. That's part of it at some point.
But it's not good.
It's not good.
I like it comes on like 105.3 here and it starts out with the acoustic. It's like ding, ding. It's like out of tune.
Nope.
Like, and fuck it. And then he's like, this is the real motherfucking deal, y'all.
Oh, is that the, because that's like the live version.
Yeah, that's a good stuff. Warts and all.
Like, it's not the real motherfucking deal.
Because fucking, what's his name is on the beginning of that
track.
Durston.
It's like two white dudes who can't harmonize or sing and they're just going at it with each other.
But they're like, bro, it doesn't matter because it's acoustic. It's stripped down. It's
dude,
raw.
It's like the sounds of silence from fucking Disturbed, man.
We sound like Nirvana right now.
That guy can actually sing when he wants to. Damn, got him.
I don't want it.
So how's it going?
How's it going, fellas? How are y'all?
I want to know how Red is.
I'm doing good.
How was your vacation?
Vacation's all I ever want. It was good. Yeah. It was fantastic. How do I summarize this? We got into December. What? We got into Denver, and we spent a couple days there. And we got there to Denver and it was raining the first 2 days, which we anticipated because we had checked the weather. But that kept us from Garden of the Gods Park. But it meant that we went to record stores and ate a bunch of vegan restaurants, which Denver is big on.
Yep.
We ate at a place called City O City. And I made up a song. It's like City O City when it don't look pretty, sucking on a dick when it don't look shitty. And
but only when it doesn't look shitty. So you're not a fan of ass to mouth.
I'm not a fan of shitty dicks.
Okay. But, so how do you feel about ass to mouth?
Ass to mouth is fine because I don't think it means literally shitty dicks.
No, it just means taking it out of somebody's butt and putting it in somebody's mouth.
Yeah. That's what that means.
Yeah. What was there
it's
was
quite
something,
a, little,
did you
go, a hot dog sandwich?
Did you hit up Casa Bonita? But
we didn't make it over there.
You ain't that brave.
We didn't. We wasn't that brave, but we. We went to.
It's not a thing where I'm like, the food's good. It's fucked. The whole thing is fucked, but it's an experience.
Yeah, like Chuck E. Cheese.
Dope. But like worse.
Yeah. But like better.
I wanted to go.
Pero con
but we had to prioritize because we got to Garden of the Gods the third day we were there, which is beautiful. It was a beautiful place. Beautiful place.
It's a dangerous place.
No, but it's a beautiful place. And while we're there, I'm checking like the route because I know we had planned this road trip to go to Zion National Park from where we were. And last we checked, we both thought it was like 4 hours. It turns out it was about 11 hours away. So I said, we need to get on the road. So, but then I didn't know, like, where we were in Colorado at the time was next to NORAD. And so, like, we drove over, like, within a couple miles of NORAD. And there was, like, anyway, we did a bunch of little stops on the way. And so then we drove through the Rockies and it was, like, sunset. And so we caught, like, the Rockies at sunset, which was great. And then the idea was to get a hotel. But in Utah, once we got to Utah in the desert,
things close.
And it was all fucking closed.
Yeah. They're like, sorry, you guys aren't married. We can't allow you to share a room together.
It was like, what the Yeah, so I drove all night. I just kept driving. And luckily, I'd gone to the record store and we listened to, like, so listening to Kid A when you're crossing the Colorado Rockies at sunset is dope. And then you're going through tunnels and shit. It was great. It was like super cinematic. And both she and I like both like road trips and music. So it was good. Anyway, long story short, by the time we get there next day, we're supposed to go glamping. Right? We had set up to go glamping. And then we get to this
can
place.
Can you like not say glamping? Yeah,
can you never say glamping again ever
as,
in your entire
two
life?
People who are fine sleeping on the floor in the dirt. That's.
Fuck you. Ew. You went glamping recently with your tiny house.
I don't go glamping. That's true. That was not glamping. That was housing. Trying out a tiny house.
Okay.
That's basically like getting a cabin. That's
either
not glamping.
Way, here, check this shit out.
Sleeping indoors.
I called the lady and told her the situation because we were supposed to actually check in the
you're
day before.
You're jamming across the fucking...
Yeah, but yeah. I told her about the situation. And she was understanding. Then we get there and it's about an hour away from Zion, which on paper over here sounded good. But once you get there and after driving all that way, I was like, this is already inconvenient. But anyway, and then it's in Hurricane, Utah is where this place is. And then she gives us a list of stuff that's nearby to get like supplies if we want. So we go to this grocery store. I go into the grocery store and it's a little weird. I walk in there and they've got literature. It says general conference transcripts for every year. And I'm like, what the fuck? And Sophia's like, what? And I go up there and I'm like, yup. And I open the book and it's talking about Joseph Smith and everything.
Hell yeah.
Right. So, which is Utah, big deal. But this is strange even for Utah. And so then we get in there and then they were doing a field trip for elementary school kids and all the kids were blonde. And then there was a lot of ladies that were wearing these old school dresses like they were Quakers and shit.
Would you say they were old white bitches?
They were total old white bitches, even though they were like in their late teens and early 20s. Like they skipped right to being old white bitches because I go to take a shit in this wonderful establishment and I'm Googling the town and it's the headquarters of a Mormon splinter group that split off from the main church and still practices polygamy.
That's rad.
And that's when it was like, oh my God. And then it goes like, if you read the Wikipedia on this place, it was like a fucking laundry list of like discomfort. And it was like, we need to go. We need to get out. Anyway, this didn't deter Sophia, but we went to the actual campsite then at this point to see what it looked like. Not quite like the pictures. And it was about 90 plus degrees. And there was a guy who was like camping there and he was dragging his mattress out of the tent. I assume because it was too fucking hot. And so at that point we decided, why don't we go stay somewhere next to Zion and just pay for a fucking motel? And I'm glad we did. Cause then we went to Zion. We got the fuck out of there. We went to La Quinta Inn, which was beautiful. Good old La Quinta. And it had a pool and it was within a few minutes of the park. And once we got there, we realized you can hike all these different areas, of course, in Zion, but you need to get a special transport shuttle to get in there. And there's this place called the Narrows where you're in this huge fucking canyon, but it's filled with water and it goes up to about your waist at the deepest point. And you can go and you hike this thing and you can rent gear. You don't have to, but we rented the stick and we rented some special hiking shoes that are waterproof. And it was fucking gorgeous. And I posted pictures about it. If you saw them and made fun of me about it, I don't know. But I was looking at Jorge when
Why?
I said that. Because I know how you are.
Oh, I was.
Because you post one thing a year on Halloween and it's pictures of pumpkins. And that's it. That's all.
Why would I say anything?
I think the last picture on his Instagram is a picture I took from his phone and it's from like 3 years ago.
No, he's done two pumpkin pictures two since then. I was looking at them on the way over here. I'm like,
you were like, this motherfucker's gonna say something about my ancient pictures.
He's like, it's a long drive.
I know what he's doing. He's like, I got 80 likes for that. I'm good this year.
Yeah, I'm good.
I look good.
Yeah, that's what
he's
I
right.
do.
He's right. He's right. He's like, I got I could three just, I could three times of more like many people following me than how many posts I have. I'm good. I got more people following me than I follow. I'm good.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
This is
what he does.
That's the bit.
That's his KD ratio.
Yeah.
But
I got a dope ass KD on fucking Instagram.
So I'll wrap this up. To put this in perspective, though, we got there at dawn and did this drive through of the park, and it was empty. And it was fucking amazing because they got there's this tunnel that's hollowed out of the mountain and everything. And Guardian of the Gods. Yes, exactly. Guardian of the Gods was beautiful. But to compare it to this, it was like Guardian of the Gods is like, you know that song number two by Blur?
Yeah.
It's 2 minutes and it's cool. I've heard it way too many times, but I used to love that song. It's a good song.
Okay.
This was like Meshuggah's Eye, which is like 20 minutes and like, and like fucking the Yes album Close to the Edge and like King Crimson's Red.
All smashed together
because it kept going and going. And it was just like every time we turned.
Zion's huge.
Every time we turned a corner, it looked more ridiculous too. It was like, it's like 100,000 times fucking Garden of the Gods. So anyway, that place is fucking gorgeous, dude. Like it is just amazing. So we'll know next time to basically fly into Salt Lake City, drive up 4 hours and stay there the whole week. Cause we only got to really hike the narrows and like take in the
so frick Denver basically.
Well, no, Denver's cool, but that is 11 hours away. That's a whole separate trip.
Yeah.
You know, but feasibly, you could start at Garden of the Gods, drive through the Rockies, go to freaking Zion, and then Grand Canyon is 130 miles away. And if it was me by myself, I would have been like, the last 2 days, let's go to fucking Grand Canyon.
You could have hit Bryce Canyon, too, on the way.
Kinda. It was 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we did hit the next day. We were able to hit these pink sand dunes because they were nearby.
Okay.
And that was pretty cool, but not too cool because we're from California. So I've seen sand. Okay. No, but and then the last thing though, there was an animal sanctuary which she had followed like for years, Utah Animal Sanctuary, and they had this huge animal graveyard. There's literally hundreds of thousands of animals buried there, and they have chimes, and it was real windy, and the chimes are they have like a chime for each animal. And it was a
fuckload of chimes.
It was fucking beautiful, man. It was really cool because each day was like its own thing. And then we drove 4 hours to Salt Lake City and spent a day there and looked at the Mormon temple, which is under some fucking revisions. And Salt Lake City, have you ever been there?
Briefly.
These people at night are fucking wild, dude. I was like, where the fuck are the cops? Like, where are you? So I don't know if it's like, I hadn't been there in about 10 years since I saw Tool play there. And they were fucking crazy, dude. They were crazy. Like the it was a bunch of like young entitled white bitches.
Well, because you've got BYU right there.
Well, because that's what I start realizing. It's the party town of the state, and all the repression and rebellion goes there.
Yeah.
On Friday night and Saturday night. Anyway, we had a beautiful time. We were almost a little too busy, which is what I was trying to avoid. But
well, I mean, you planned fucking 24 hours of driving into your fucking trip, man. What were you expecting?
Right. But we it was a real journey and everything. And it was much needed.
There you go. Matthew.
All right. You done? Are we ready to start the show?
Shut up.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast. Oh, shit.
You could have.
Look, that was intro. Oh, my God. That was fucking forever. I tuned out 20 minutes ago.
Hey.
Well, you could have been talking about wrestling and I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. How's your back?
Fine. Good. Back's great.
This fucking guy, I see that's the thing. He's doing a bit just because
I'm not doing any bit. My back's fine. My back is great. Totally great.
Okay, before this back thing, it was a big fucking deal, dude. It was a big deal, man.
Because I was in excruciating pain all the time. That's why it was a big deal.
Nah, dude. Everyone's like, good luck, dude. I said good luck.
Well, yeah, because it's a fucking surgery. When people get their tonsils taken out, people are like, good luck, wisdom teeth. They're like, good luck, don't die. I appreciate it. No, I'm glad you don't want me to die. No, yeah, they do.
Maybe white
anesthesia tastes like shit. I'm telling you that. But yeah.
Okay.
Surgery went fine. Went in hella early. The guy, when I was about to get my anesthetic, he started talking to me about Stephen King. And all I remember was talking about how fucking wordy he is. And then I fell asleep and I woke up. My mouth tasted gross, and
so you started insulting the guy's taste before he did surgery on you.
He's like, you were fucking
a little
with
worse
the,
than insulting the chef.
Fucking going with the yeah, anesthesiologist,
it's,
huh?
It's funny because like every time somebody finds out that you're into horror, they always want to.
It's always Stephen King.
He takes off the mask, and it is Stephen King.
It's always that's always the thing. It's like, oh, you like horror? You like Stephen King, huh? And then I have to be like, God damn it. Okay, well, like
you like rock and roll. You like AC/DC.
I like a handful of the interpretations of his books. I find his books to be very wordy and they're very hard to get through. Like in It, there's like 32 pages about how his
you
mom
like
is
genocide,
making fucking
you like
lobster
America
for dinner,
dude.
You know? Like, but I was
flip flop that though.
Oh, yeah. I was going through that whole fucking thing and then the next thing I know, I'm asleep. But yeah, I haven't taken a single pain pill since my surgery.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I don't want to take pills and I haven't needed to.
He's a Jehovah's Witness now.
Just that tough. Yeah, and
but your sunburn hurts more than your fucking back.
It
huh?
does. My sunburn hurts.
What
so
the fuck? What the fuck did you do?
I went to the ball game.
Ah,
yeah, it's hot as fuck. Padres beat the shit out of the Rockies. They embarrassed me again, even though I asked them politely on Twitter not to.
Yeah. What's the situation like at the ball games right now? Like,
bro, it's normal. It's hella normal. Like when I was in Denver a couple weeks ago, like they reminded you every 10 minutes, like. Please remember to keep your mask on at all times, except for children under two, like unless you're actively eating or drinking. And at Petco, they're just like, fuck it. Do whatever the fuck you want. So people are just yelling, no mask. They're still trying
to baseball.
They're still trying to socially distance people. But like even with the limited capacity, it was still kind of at like what you would expect for a Wednesday afternoon game. But it's just nice to get out and just see sports again. Baseball's hella boring when I'm not drinking.
What did tickets cost?
I like what you said there. Baseball is what?
It's hella boring when you're not drinking. Well, I've always said that. I love baseball regardless, but
I'm just glad you said it and not me.
No, I've always admitted that even if I'm at home watching baseball by myself, I'll fall asleep by like the third inning. But
yeah, it's good for that.
Yeah, Padres are actually doing well, so tickets were a bit expensive. We got two tickets in the first row of the outfield for like $95 with tax.
It's not so bad.
Nah, I mean it's more expensive it's than they normally are, but it's a cheap they're doing well. You know? Dude,
cheap nap.
It was hot as fuck. So yeah, I mean I've been recovering from surgery for the last 10 days or so. Feeling a lot better. I actually walked like 3.5 miles today, which is nice. Other than that, man, I've been doing nothing but streaming and applying for voice work.
This is true. This is the thing you're doing.
And acting gigs, man. And I've actually been getting them and it's fucking wild. And I'm very excited about that project. So I know Rhett doesn't like that word and he's going to say, can you not say
project? I was actually going to say, are we going to start the show? Because I've been phased out for that.
I'm sorry. I talked for 2 minutes versus your 25.
No, actually, you have that. You're a little skewed like,
a little
on your
skewed,
times.
Skewed yes. in my views.
It's very close, actually. Much closer
okay.
than
much,
you think.
Much closer. Okay. I mean, we can always check the tape, but that's fine.
We're going to check the tape. He's got a clock running over
there. I literally have a clock.
I've done a whole lot of nothing besides streaming and applying for voice work.
You've been doing a lot of Dead by Daylight.
Yep, lots of Dead by Daylight.
Playing a lot of Isaac. Well, not really that much Isaac.
Not much Isaac. The people that keep coming in my stream want Dead by Daylight. They're all like, well, play whatever makes you happy. But then I definitely noticed the difference in viewership, like if I'm playing Binding of Isaac or River City Girls or something. But
yeah,
stream's going really well, man. I finally decided to actually put forth the work into doing it, and it's paying off.
I always told you have to keep a schedule.
I know. It's not even a schedule. It's the consistency and the
engagement. People on Twitch are not... Are huge fans of like consistency with their fucking streamers, man.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like I was looking and I think I did my first stream around like January 5th, 2017. And, it doesn't seem like that long. And I've been pretty consistent with like very small gaps of non-streaming, but it's only really been for the last like 2 weeks that I've been like notifying people when I go live. I have a website, MattyDingDong.com, where you can go to find all my social media and the link to the Who Goes There podcast, Spotify and all that stuff. So
what is the ding dong referring to?
So there's a show called, Metalocalypse, and it's about like a death metal band. And there was an episode where somebody called somebody else Fatty Ding Dong. And, you know, me and my friends used to call each other Fatty back in the day. And
Fatty rhymes with Maddie.
Yep. And so I got called Maddie Ding Dong for a while, from our first co-host Mikey. And, it was a name that I had for a little while, and I just kind of stopped using it, and then I changed it to Maddie Ding Dong one day randomly on Discord, and I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to leave it at that. And most of the social media accounts I had were the name Who Goes There Podcast, and I was like, well, I don't want to just have myself being the voice of Who Goes There, so I created my own account.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Maddie Ding Dong on everything.
Maddie Ding Dong on everything.
Wow.
Twitch.tv/Maddie Ding Dong. Instagram, Twitter, Maddie Ding Dong.
MaddieDingDong.com. I did not want an actual explanation.
Well, you shouldn't have asked.
I understand
fuck
that.
Jack. Now you know but where you fucked. You fucked up. Did you guys watch any movies while you were road tripping? Or
we did watch a couple, actually. Because, well, the first couple of days we were in the hotel and they didn't have many options.
Because it's Rhett and Sophia.
Well, not even because, no, we didn't have much time once the trip got out of Denver. But she had never seen Moana. And
Moana.
And that was beautiful.
Did you tell her, you're welcome?
Kinda.
That's a good movie.
It was. I'd only seen it once and it was much better watching it with Sophia. And I like that chicken. Aww. That chicken's cute. Hi, Sophia. And mainly, though, the reason why is because they didn't have many options. You could only rent certain movies. They didn't have it set up so you could stream in the hotel, which was like, what the fuck? But
so they're deciding your views?
Yeah. There was a lot of views, by the way. Like, everywhere we went, I just couldn't stop, like, views. And for a good 3 days, once we hit Utah, I talked like that. Non-stop. Like, I just couldn't stop because I'd look out on the fucking truck stops and shit. Yeah, and I was like, oh, the views.
You do get very.
Wait, are you talking about like the views, like the horizon exactly. views yeah. or like the views?
Well, that's what it is. That's like, I said when I go back on the show and I the totally
views
forgot.
Views on the views.
By the end of the trip, I had it up to here with views. Because it was all these views everywhere. And I was just like, fuck, man. All this fucking shit to look at, you know? Like, enough.
He meant literal views, not like views.
Views. So that is a good movie. It was really good. And what else did we watch? Oh, we went to the theater the last day because we had some time to kill before our late flight.
And you watched Spiral.
We watched Spiral, and I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
Didn't you say you watched Army of the Dead in the theater, too?
We didn't watch Army. I was going to. Instead, okay. We went and watched Demon Slayer.
Oh, good.
The anime. Good. That movie is fucking bonkers, and it's fucking a blast. Bro. Have you seen it?
I've seen the show.
Okay.
I know what you should check out is Berserk.
Well, and that's what like I've Berserk. Heard great stuff about that. And we were, the I was on the fence. Just died. I was on the fence because I'd heard good stuff for a few weeks, but it was like, I know there's 26 episodes to watch beforehand. And then I was reading stuff and it was like, is this a waste of time to watch before you see the thing? Anyway, we gave it a shot and we fucking loved it. We picked up the idea and I'm eager to watch the 26 episodes, and season 2 is available stateside later this year. Yeah. I think they have it on Netflix now and Hulu. And it's easily one of my, I mean, we're early in the year. It was one of my favorite things I've seen this year. It was super fun. Some great horror elements, some great rules, like regarding the elemental magic and shit like that.
Hell yeah.
And there's a funny ass character too with a fucking pig head who is just like the D.
Wait, I thought you weren't talking about Saw yet.
Oh, no, not that.
Okay.
Fuck that. Wait, I didn't say that. Fuck that. Fuck talking means, about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what I took
yeah.
from that.
Yeah.
So he meant fuck talking about that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And, I watched this movie right before I left. It was called Initiation. It's a slasher movie. Have you heard about this? It's from 2021 this year.
No.
It's kind of a riff on Black Christmas, but a little more modernized.
I'm sorry, on what?
On Black motherfucking Christmas. Okay,
there we go.
But when I say that, I don't mean a riff on the last one. I mean a riff on the original idea.
The good one.
But it's more modernized, but it does involve the rape culture thing, and it does it pretty well to a point, and then the third act is fucking ridiculous. However, I would be kind of interested to see what you thought of that. There's a couple good kills.
Where's it at?
I had to rent it. It was $5.99 or something like that.
That's a mistake.
That shit's a mistake.
It's a mistake.
But I was real eager to watch something new.
I'll put it on the credit card associated with my new LLC so I can write it off as a loss at the end of the year.
I did like it just because it does feature, spoiler, a guy jacking off, and he's like a total like dumbass guy. And right after he comes, he gets
killed. Were
you
looking in the mirror? Or, oh.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's gotcha. Like, I've always wanted to see some guy like right after jacking off get killed, and they gave it to me. Mm. It's dope.
Well, there you go. What about you, Maddie Ding Dong?
I watched a movie called The Mitchells versus the Machines.
Ooh, I heard good stuff.
It's good. good. It's got a real good cast too. It's got Danny McBride as the dad, Maya Rudolph as the wife. I forgot who the kids were, but
Phil Lord really and Chris matter. Miller did that. They did the Spidey movie and
yeah. It was the
Lego
same,
movie,
same ones that did Into the Spider-Verse. That was real fun. It's a real cute little family movie. Ollie and I have been binging the fuck out of Castlevania. That last season is so good.
Oh, I saw that. That's on there.
Is it so, like new?
Yeah, it just came out on the 20th. Sometime recently, within the last week. It's the final season. It's so much more violent and so much more bloody, and the story is absolutely heart wrenching. And I watched.
It's like Sophie's Choice.
I watched.
It's a real Sophie's Choice whether or not you're going to watch it. But whether or
not to watch. Yeah, whether or not to watch Castlevania, it's a real Sophie's Choice.
that's what I meant.
Let's see. What else have I? I haven't really watched anything, man. I've been so enjoying the fact that I haven't had to watch anything. That I've decided not to watch anything. I've been watching a bunch of workaholics.
Like I've been watching a lot of people streaming on Twitch. Dude,
like when I was going to watch tonight's movie on Tuesday at like 3:00. And then when we pushed the recording back, I'm like, fuck yeah. And I watched it tonight at 5:00. I don't know what it is, man. Like I cannot hit play on a movie these days, like unless I have.
I also
to.
Feel like
an obligation.
I feel like when we watch a movie for this show, I'm like I have to delay it literally as much as possible just to be able to remember.
Oh yeah,
what the fuck is happening?
And if I don't, yeah, that's the thing. If I don't, I'm gonna have to watch it again because I'm gonna forget, and then that's just bad news.
Especially if it's a bad movie, because then you've got to watch Opera twice, and it's like fuck.
And sometimes you go out and buy a t-shirt.
Yeah,
I got the t-shirt. I walked into a record store in Denver and there it was just hanging right there.
Just hanging, just waiting.
And it's just like, well, that's a must.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, so.
I love that
shit. Did you watch at all Handmaid's Tale?
I watched the first season and I think like the first couple episodes of the second season.
Holy frick.
That's what you said. Well, and even Sophia said it's not great.
I heard it's just way too bleak now.
It's not even, it's like
repetitive, right?
It's repetitive. That's exactly it, man. Like the decisions that the main character makes is like, bitch.
Oh, you mean that girl from Willow?
Yeah, I mean the girl from Willow. Yeah,
that's Kaya. I don't know how they got her to look taller.
If you've seen this show,
like Tom Cruise, they do the same thing to him.
If you've seen this show, like it's basically the same trappings. Episode in and episode out, and it's so fucking frustrating to watch, but I'm gonna finish it.
Of course you are.
I'm gonna finish.
Why wouldn't you?
Why?
Because I'm committed, dude. I'm pot committed.
Oh shit.
It's because he's a masochist. That's why.
They have this docu-series. It's only 3 episodes on Netflix. It's called Murder Among the Mormons.
No.
It's fucking good. It was a great watch. And it's the guy Jared Hess directs it, and that's the director of Napoleon Dynamite. Mm-hmm. Because, he himself, I believe, is Mormon. He grew up in Idaho, and there's a lot of weird.
I think John Heder is, too, the guy that played in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, and it's a real fucking interesting thing. I don't want to give any spoilers with it, but, of course, it's a docuseries, so it's a true event that happened in the 80s. That's on Netflix. And, again, it's not a docuseries that should be 3 episodes, and they drag into 10. It's 3 episodes, and it's fucking – it needs to be, and then it ends.
Nice.
So it's a good little – a good little watch.
Nice.
Much better than what you're describing.
Yeah. I also watched, when was the last time you watched Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Ooh, that's fucking, probably 4 years ago. So, Keanu Reeves, unfortunate.
Yeah, yes. I was gonna.
The rest of that shit is amazing. Wait, how is he any different in that than he is in everything else?
It's miscast. No, and dude. He's younger.
Dude. And he's doing this British accent that is just, it is.
Notice in John Wick, he doesn't try to do an accent.
It is something.
Well, he doesn't have to.
It is something else, brother.
He just goes bang, bang, skeet.
You've got Gary Oldman just like, ooh, like just. Vampiring it up real good, and then you've got I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this information, Lord, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, Keanu?
What are you doing, Francis Ford Coppola?
Like exactly.
Don't do this.
Don't do this shit, man.
But he was coming off the heels of Godfather 3, and so he had cast his fucking daughter, who became a very competent and good director. But as far as an actress,
no. New BTS English single dropped now.
And literally right now. And like, you know, remember the armor? Dracula's armor.
The red armor?
Brilliant a little
some of the best
brilliant costuming
costume design I've ever seen.
And then his
seen.
Like robes that it's just like how do you
intro of Vlad the Impaler shit so where good. They have the fucking silhouettes of people on pikes and shit. Yeah. And then he gets pissed and he stabs the cross and it starts bleeding.
Yeah.
That shit is
good. I mean, that stuff's incredible. But then fucking Keanu is being Keanu. It's crazy. The juxtaposition of like Keanu's shitty acting and the rest of it is kind of incredible. It's awesome.
Well, and I think to answer Matt's question succinctly, yeah, it was not playing to his strengths. He didn't know how to play to his strengths as well.
I was like, did I ask a question?
About Keanu Reeves. You said, how is it any different?
Yeah, I put two and two together.
It's fucking way miscast.
I haven't seen that movie in...
And it's what, 1991? Yeah, I mean, it's about 30 years right. ago now.
Let's so. See, hold up.
90? No, 91?
I
want to say it's 92.
92.
Oh, 92? Wow, shit.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's
real bad. Any news we should get to, gentlemen?
Yes, before we get to that, I want to thank a couple people. First of all, I want to thank a little guy named Dan. Goes by the name Halloween Hot Sauce.
Halloween Hot Sauce?
Dan has been very active in my Twitch stream lately. He's been
here we go again.
Well, I'm just saying, he's been very supportive, and he sent a package. He sent a package to the Who
Let Goes... Let me know when we're going to start the show.
He sent a package to the Who Goes There podcast. He used to run a hot sauce company, so he sent us some hot sauce, and he sent a little note that said, thanks for all the amazing content. I just found your podcast in 2020 after a long, depressing layoff. The laughs and realness have kept me going through some very dark times. Keep doing what you do. So I thought that was very nice.
Thank you, Dan. Especially, and this hot sauce is delicious.
Especially... when you put it up against that fucking iTunes review we got, but I'm not going to talk about that because I want to thank somebody else. And that's longtime Patreon supporter, Hans Grachen, who went out of his way to send us three DVD copies of the transcendent film Boarding House.
Debbie, no.
Which I have yet to watch, but will now.
So that's going to be a Patreon live stream. So if you want to make sure to check that out, go to Patreon. As for the news, I'm going to rapid fire. You tell me if anything sounds interesting.
We
can extrapolate. Back for Blood trailer came out, and it also got pushed back to quarter four. Back for Blood is that game that's like the new Left 4 Dead.
Okay.
It looks cool as fuck. It got pushed back to quarter four. But it's got a new trailer. Nah, George saw it. He thought it looked good.
It does look good.
He wants to play it.
Nope. So
that's rapid fire.
Nope.
Don't Breathe 2 officially got a rating, so we're getting Don't Breathe 2 Blind Semen Sprayer.
Fuck Don't Breathe because you guys voted for it over Mandy.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got a little sand in your vagina?
Yeah. I got fucking rocks in my vagina.
You need a little Vagisil?
I got volcanic ash in my
vagina. If we leave that sand in there long enough, it'll turn to a pearl.
Yeah.
Your little pearl.
I don't think that's true.
It is.
I think all your twitching has got you thinking that this is going to work with me, but it doesn't.
He's referring to this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's Don't Breathe 2. That's coming. Rhett's very excited. He loves that movie.
I did love that movie. Missed opportunity, man. I really liked that movie. In fact, I even liked the turkey baster. When people were complaining, they're like, that wouldn't happen. I'm like, who gives a fuck? That's awesome. He pumped her full of fucking cum and a turkey baster. What do you want?
That's right. There's a new animated Resident Evil series called Infinite Darkness coming to Netflix July 8th.
I've heard.
Is it like Eternal good Darkness? Things?
It's Infinite Darkness.
I wonder if it's.
I want Rhett to Twitch or to stream Eternal Darkness.
Speaking of which,
I want to see that so bad.
Sanity meter.
I have like zero interest in playing Resident Evil Village. Yeah. In terms of like the game, because I'm like, I don't, it's a lot of time commitment.
I already saw somebody take a fly swatter and just keep smacking Lady Dimitrescu on the butt.
I did. There's a channel on YouTube that does like a deep dive on the lore of all like the characters and their motivations and whatnot. The story sounds pretty good.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for a little bit of like.
You need the mods. You need buff mods.
Well, I need buff mods for sure. Yeah. But I also want some of the hype to die down just to, you know. It's Twitch stuff.
That should be anti-Twitch stuff.
No, because when you're a smaller channel, like if you do bigger
games... Oh, you're going to get
like,
buried.
Yeah, I'll get buried. Yeah. So, I mean, even doing Dead by Daylight's hard enough, but that's other stuff.
Okay.
That's uninteresting. Terrifier 2 is coming soon, and they promised that the epic final cut will be 2 hours long.
I think it should be not 2 hours long.
I think you should be not 2 hours long.
I again, on our thing, I defended Terrifier against you two.
I never said anything negative about Terrifier, but yeah, I was saying when it goes up against Get Out, like one
that's
of
that's not
them,
what happened.
What was it up against?
What was it up against?
It was up against something stupid. And you guys both picked that over.
Well,
Terrifier.
Then whatever it was up against, was objectively the better
movie.
Of all
people to be defending Terrifier, it was me.
You were just being a contrarian because that's
what
you do.
I really wasn't. I thought it was better at what it is than the other.
That's what you do.
This is what he does.
I'm better than what I am than what you do. It's 2 hours and 21 minutes long anyway.
That's too long for any. That's too long for any movie, dude.
Which leads me into my next news. Telluride Horror Show is back. Tickets
back, baby.
Are on sale. And I'm bringing that up because I'm hoping Terrifier 2 gets premiered there since the first one premiered there. Mm-hmm. That'd be really good. The Who Goes There podcast crew is rolling deep this year. We had 10 people last year. We've got 13 people who have already bought tickets and booked hotels this year. That's not counting you two because... Let's be real. You guys aren't going to go.
It's because we're married to our jobs, buddy.
He knows I'm a contrarian, so he's trying to get me to go for sure.
That's exactly what I'm doing. That's good. Reverse psychology. So Telluride Horror Show. Go to TellurideHorrorShow.com and get your tickets. Discounts on lodging right there. Let's see. Rhett's favorite director, Alexandra Aja, is making a new movie, but he spoke out and said that his Junji Ito Tomy adaptation is still in the works. It's not dead yet. He really wants to make that happen.
It's his favorite director?
Whoa. He's not, he was kidding, but he's not my favorite, but I don't dislike him. He's got a movie out called Oxygen, yeah,
which that's I've heard was he's not, got a new movie coming out.
No, it's out.
Is it?
Yeah, Oxygen.
Supposedly good.
I've heard.
Is it?
Not good.
I've that heard. Fair?
Okay. Maybe I could be wrong.
You might have heard from one fucking dipshit. But
no,
I checked several dipshits.
Did you watch Songbird?
No.
Okay, I haven't.
But I want to.
I haven't watched it yet. I remember you saying maybe we should do that for Patreon because I'm curious. But I don't know that I want my opinions of that being known to the general public. Just, you know.
What do you mean?
For working reasons. I don't know. In case it's a bad movie.
In case it's... In case are you going to do more of that now?
In case it's a really bad movie.
You have to still just tell the truth.
I'm still gonna.
George Washington cannot tell a lie, and neither can you.
That was a lie that he couldn't tell a lie.
Shh. That's Mason shit right there. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's top secret. The Illuminati's coming for
the
me.
Cherry tree shit was bullshit.
Who the Fuck Greenlit This News, there's going to be another Pet Cemetery movie directed by Lindsay Beer for Paramount.
And Lindsay Buckingham.
May not be a prequel tale. What it is
that's just a mistake.
I don't give a fuck tale. Like after that last movie bombed so bad, I don't understand.
It didn't necessarily bomb.
I mean, it might have made money, but it was
movies.
It wasn't that successful.
It
either.
Was real bad.
It made me want a hot dog real bad.
what? You want a hot dog, you little bitch?
Yeah. I don't know if George has seen it yet, but Rhett has seen Spiral from the Book of Saw. And for those of you that love it, because it's supposedly a really great movie, apparently there's a pig puppet in there and they are making replicas of the pig puppet.
Oh, thank God.
For sale. His name is Mr. Snuggles. I kind of like that name, actually.
I do want to, like I said, I'm going to refrain from saying anything. But I do want to mention, the movie is called Spiral from the Book of Saw. This is what you're dealing with.
Book of Saw, dude.
What book of Saw, motherfucker? Like, there is no book of Saw.
I think it's a metaphorical book, you know? Like, it's like the teachings of Saw.
Like the book of the DVDs put together, dude?
Oh, that's it. It's all the liner notes, bro.
Wow.
It's a short book, dude.
It's like eight of them.
It's torture porn.
We were talking about
not very literary as it
Resident Evil
out.
Village.
Yes.
Capcom has been accused by the director of Frankenstein's Army for copying the monster designs. And
I did see that.
I posted
that on Discord.
I've seen Frankenstein's Army.
Propellerhead. There's really one in particular. Propellerhead.
Oh, is that? Is there a Propellerhead in Resident Evil Village?
There apparently is. So. But it's. Oh. I mean,
I saw that. I saw the comparisons, and I haven't played the game or seen the film to be fair. But seriously, only Hard on Collider could cause two people to come up with with or propeller, you know, head, like, unknowingly.
Somebody having seen Frankenstein's Army.
Of course.
See, and I didn't know
horror people.
I didn't know there was like a propeller head in it. And honestly, before today, I didn't know that it was Frankenstein's Army director. No, I just heard
Jorge's
was...
got pictures of Elroy over here and shit.
Elroy Jetson, yeah, propeller head.
Oh. he's trying. We're trying to get to the.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. This.
I okay. Hadn't, yeah, I mean, oh yeah, I see it. They have two pictures right here on the article, and I mean, I see.
Oh
it.
Fuck. It's too fucking, I mean, look at that. It's ridiculous.
It's pretty, that's, it's propeller head.
I think the only difference is Resident Evil's is chainsaws for the propellers.
Yeah, and there's like, the other one has a little bit of red on the tips.
It's very pretty, similar
that's
to.
That's pretty bad.
Ding, see, it's that little ding, 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 ding. It's an extra ding that makes a difference.
Which he's correct. These have chainsaws, so it's not the same.
Yeah. No, it's totally different. Yeah, I think they have a valid claim. I didn't realize that's what it was. I was like, I don't remember seeing any 8 foot tall vampire broads in any movie. But back to who greenlit this news. Faces of Death is being remade.
I saw that.
Now that people know that it's not actually real, I don't know what their hook is going to be, you know, just a bunch of people just fake dying,
just grisly deaths that feel real, you know. I think I saw one where a guy was doing, I did see one, I don't know if it was Faces of Death, a guy was doing pull-ups on a shower bar and there was a broomstick next to him, and so the
it
broomstick
went up his ass,
it went up his ass and came out his neck.
Ah, so it's like a Cannibal Holocaust.
It's dope.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool, but they already did that with A Thousand Ways to Die. And then the final news thing, it's not really horror, but it's really exciting for me. And that's Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Death Clock, and Venture Brothers are all getting feature films.
Ooh.
From Adult Swim.
Okay.
Very excited. I need more Aqua Teen in my life.
We are clear who is who here, and I am Shake, obviously. It's obvious. I mean, let's be clear.
No. Cause I don't think George is dumb enough to be Meatwad. So
no,
that would
he's
have
fry
to be
guy. You're Meatwad.
I'm not Meatwad. You would have to be Meatwad.
I'm fucking. I'm the.
You're
I'm
the
Shake.
You're the.
I am Shake.
I think you're wrong.
I don't.
What do you? What do you?
If
what
anything,
you,
if what anything, I think George is Shake. I'm Frylock.
No,
and you're
no,
Meatwad.
No, I'm not.
He's
Shake.
He's Frylock.
If anybody's more Meatwaddy, it's me. But that you're Meatwad.
I don't think I'm Meatwad.
Yeah, you're Meatwad.
I think Rhett's Meatwad.
No.
Look at him. He's a walking Meatwad.
Yeah, but no, that's the physicality has nothing to do with it.
I've literally seen him transform his body into a battleship.
I'm Shake, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not Shake.
I am.
Yeah. You're Meatwad, dude. I really sorry. Am. You're fucking Meatwad.
You can suck my Meatwad.
We'll let Discord weigh in on this. On this. Well,
yeah, don't lead them in one direction or another. Just tell them. Aqua Teen Hunger Force, who
I
goes
believe
there?
Shake who? Would lead them in one
who's
direction.
Who's who? No, you don't tell them. You don't tell them shit. Just say
that's what Shake would
just
do.
Just say who's
that's
who.
That's why I'm Shake. See,
that's what you're just making up rules. I could
it's
say
self evident.
I could say Meatwad would do that. Meatwad would just use his fucking charms to get people on his side.
It's so obvious.
Shake's plan would always backfire. So you go right ahead, and they'll be like, "No, you're not."
Wait,
Shake.
So you're saying that Meatwad is the more charming of the three?
Of course he
so
is.
There you are.
So there you are.
There you are.
But Shake is the funniest.
You appeal.
Shake
this
is the funnier of the three, and I'm clearly the funniest of the three.
Yeah, but not because he's trying to be.
Well, he's not. I'm not trying to be funny. You're trying to be. You're trying
contrary.
To be funny with
no,
these.
I'm not.
You play these voice messages.
Those
the
are,
one,
that's not
the
trying
one
to be
you
funny.
Sent at 8:45 last
pure
night
expression.
That made my wife hate you.
That's pure expression.
Oh yeah, that one
is it.
That's a little, that one is a little problematic.
Gotcha. Yeah. Got you guys.
I don't know if it got us.
All that
us.
Did was got you in hot water with my wife.
Don't play that at work.
I didn't play it at work. I played it at home.
I liked how
and there was no disclaimer on it.
Changed the use of the word cereal to cereal, like food. Like why? Why is he a cereal blank? You know what I mean? I guess you don't get that. Just you guys have said the word, and
maybe,
you're gonna be all
maybe we
you're
should
gonna be all stupid.
Maybe we should play it and just see if everybody else
got
gets
you in the hot
it.
Water. Oh, good lord, good lord. All right, all right.
I don't
right.
think you should. I don't think you should.
Okay,
wait. You guys have heard about Fear Street, the Fear Street trilogy.
Yeah, it's coming out. Yeah.
So it's the R.L. Stine thing that was made for like slightly older.
These are the we talked about Goosebumps this. Graduates.
Right. But I didn't know it was going to be rated R.
Oh, I didn't either.
Right. And it starts July 2nd and they're doing kind of a new thing. It's a new film every Friday consecutively for 3 weeks. So it starts July 2nd, then the next week they have a second part, and the next week they have a third part, mm-hmm. and they're feature length, and they're R-rated. Okay. So does that mean it'll be good? Am I saying, oh, it'll be good? No, but I hope it is.
Yeah,
so that sounds
I'm hoping that since it's R, it's at least going to have like something violent or scary in it.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, because even if it is for older audiences, even when the original source material, the fact that it's R and it's R.L. Stine... It's very.
Oh, man, that's why it's rated R.
Oh, it's R.L. Stine.
I mean, I know it's not a great movie, but for children, the Goosebumps movies were pretty good.
I never watched it. I didn't watch that shit.
Jack Black's doing a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I liked the house with the cock in its walls.
That's your house.
Yeah.
That's your
house. Every room he goes in.
He's the cock.
There's a glory hole, and a cock just shoots out.
That's what you said. All right, anything else we should get to before we take a break?
My finger's hovering over this BTS play button.
All right, so we're going to be right back after a couple moments, and we'll be back to talk about a movie, dudes. Bye.
Check your privilege, buddy. That was one of the things they were trying to analyze in the film was their own views.
Hey, Matthew. Hey, Rhett.
Yeah, buddy.
Guess what?
What?
We're fucking back,
y'all. Dude.
Coming back at you with all our views.
Well, we already talked about Patreon. Am I right?
No, you're wrong.
I think you did.
No, I mentioned Patreon. But here's the thing. Patreon is like ice cream. It's good all by itself, but you know, it could always use a little bit more. And that's where patreon.com/whogoestheirepodcast comes in, because you get all kinds of fun extras, like the bonus content. That's kind of like the chocolate syrup. The extra episodes, that's like the sprinkles. And the Patreon exclusive Discord, that's the whipped cream. And the fucking piece de resistance, the cherry on top, is the ad-free listening.
Is
the
that best ass
part of the Who Goes There Sunday. So go to Who Goes There Podcast on patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. And for a little bit of money, you can help us keep doing this thing that we love, such as these two people named
Ass.
Brian Assman. No, it's not Brian Assman.
I knew it.
Lucian Abortion. What a badass fucking name.
He was just like, you know what? I'm gonna sub. And I'm going to do it for like a little bit of money. And then 2 days later, I'm going to come in and do it for a lot of bit of money.
Yeah.
So welcome, Lucian Abortion. And then I wanted to give another shout out to, where did his name go? Derek Gallo, who upped his pledge.
Sure did.
Jumped two whole levels.
What about the Twitch guys? You said one of those guys?
That is, I think that's Lucian Abortion.
Okay, good for him.
I think that's him. I think that's Halloween Hot Sauce.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, so... He's been
sliding into our Discord DMs.
He's been sliding into everything, man.
He's sliding into my metaphorical. Wait,
No, that's your buddy Northern California Michelangelo of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles West Coast Edition.
Whoa, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Every time Q sees him, he just adds another word or two onto it.
The Who Goes There podcast watched 1986 Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, directed by John McNaughton, written by Richard Fire. Fire, dude.
That's fire.
John,
shit was fire.
And John McNaughton. Starring Michael Rooker, Tracy Arnold, Tim Towles, Mary Demas as the Dead Woman. And that's basically, that's all you need.
I think this is Michael Rooker's first movie, or like his first real movie.
I'm coughing. Hey, Rhett.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the movie?
Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. You guys were worried about that, weren't you?
I was.
I'd never seen this film. I'd always heard about this film. And I did a little research, but I'll keep this succinct. I don't know that people say they enjoy this movie. I don't think that's the point. I did watch it, keeping in mind when it came out, and that this was very uncommon. I mean, this is the slasher era, basically. And so this is 180 degrees away from a slasher, because you're getting context and you're spending time with these people. And they do kind of like personalize the stuff. I know it's loosely based on a couple dudes.
Quite loosely.
Quite loose.
Henry Lee Lucas.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. We can talk about the.
And we can talk about all that. But all in all, I thought it was pretty, especially after the first 20 or 30 minutes, because I tried to watch it like I hadn't heard of it all these years. And for one, I didn't want to automatically be forced to respect it. And by the other thing, I didn't want to automatically have my hopes up too high.
Right.
After I got past the first 20 or 30 minutes, I felt like it started clicking really well. Don't get me wrong. The initial shots of the ladies and the aftermath of them being killed, I thought were effective. The music's a little dated. This is a very low budget movie though. About $100,000. $110,000 budget. It shopped around for like 5 years before it found a distributor, playing festival to festival. And I think, yeah, it's one of the first real honest attempts to try to make sense of this mental state, of this kind of thing. And, yeah. And there's some real stuff in here. The stuff I was most impressed with was like the scenes where, cause it's a great time capsule thing where they have the video camera. They have the video camera and they're watching the stuff on, when they go to the guy to fucking buy the equipment, they need a new TV.
Yeah. What was it? Yeah.
We'll get that stuff. I thought was really, really early and far ahead, of where things are now, you know, for instance, this podcast, for example, but, the performances are pretty damn, They feel generally pretty real from the two main leads. And it's a pretty fucking scuzzy experience. And it doesn't do some silly ass Hollywood ending.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. So, yeah.
I thought overall it was pretty effective. I don't think it's a masterpiece. I think for a $100,000 low budget movie from the 80s that was doing something that very few of any films were doing at the time, like, it definitely deserves the respect and credit it gets.
Inflation, it's only $268,000 right now. So even by today's standard, that's still low budget.
Absolutely. I feel like this movie is pretty fucking good.
No, I really thought you were gonna hate it.
No,
especially,
man.
After Tuesday, when he's like, "I wouldn't say I'm good, but I'm definitely ready for tonight." I'm like, "God damn!"
No, man. It's obviously not like, I don't think you're supposed to be like, you leave this movie, you're like, "Oh, dude, this was an enjoyable film, to watch." A lot of the characters, well, two of the characters are disgusting humans, mm-hmm. and it's portrayed real well by these two guys.
Yeah.
We can kind of get into the parallels of real life, but it's very loosely based on Henry Lee Lucas. Like, there's not much.
It's just like the very like thin thread of it.
But overall, I gotta say, man, some of the stuff feels very, very authentic and very visceral, and a lot of that stuff plays to its strengths for the most part. There's some goofy shit, like I think Becky, is that her name?
Yeah,
Becky. I think as a character, when she's not playing across from Michael Rooker in terms of like their.
Back and forth.
She's a sucky ass character.
Yeah.
And so I think that she's best in the interactions with your boy. And so, yeah, I think the movie's real.
Do not call him your boy.
He's no. your boy.
He's no. my boy.
He is my boy only my because boy, he told that boy, guy, boy, fuck the Bears.
Yeah. Dude, I thought the second he said that, I go, Rhett's going to love this part.
I did love it.
And no, man, I think the movie's really effective. I wouldn't say enjoyable, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I do enjoy the movie. I quite like it. I think it's a great addition to Serial Killer Month. It's the only movie.
Finally.
It's the one movie that actually feels serial killery.
What do you mean, finally?
Finally.
Well, you liked fucking...
You loved opera.
He loved opera. It's
true, I did love opera.
You loved Behind the Mask.
Behind the Mask, you respected quite a bit.
You
Max
said you were
waiting and waiting for the Conjuring 3.
You said you were a big
fan of Saw. Already saw it.
Yeah. You know, it's good.
No. I think...
How many times did this guy text you last week about the Conjuring still? He's still doing it.
He's still going about it.
Do you really want me to release our texts? Do you really want
Why
that?
Would you threaten to do that?
Just proof over that the Conjuring. Just proof that I've never said those things.
Well, I know. You can
You're
edit those.
You're besmirching my good name,
you
sir.
You could edit
I
that.
I do not appreciate it.
It's very simple to edit it.
Well, then Rhett can definitely go back and post the undoctored text if he thinks I've edited it.
I don't think that's necessary. It's not exactly like
I don't think
Trump's,
he's technologically capable.
It's not like Trump's tax returns.
You want to back a lion into a corner, Rhett. Yeah. Watch out for the
no one backs what's her name into a corner.
Baby. Nobody puts baby in the corner. I've never even seen that movie and I know the quote.
That movie sucks.
Anyways, I like this movie. I think this movie is very much what a lot of movies like August Underground try to be, but fail at miserably.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt.
For
yeah.
being a movie made in 1985, it looks leaps and bounds better than those other kind of movies.
I almost wouldn't. I mean,
then August Underground.
No, I just don't think. I don't think that August Underground has ever like there was ever a point when they were filming that they were like, "Dude, this needs to look."
No, right. No. That's not what I'm
saying.
He's
making a fair comparison in that this is super low budget, but it still has scenes that are well structured.
It manages to capture that gritty, dirty feeling. But still allow you to see what's going on
screen. It's still good storytelling.
And I think my problem with like August Underground is a lot that it's so shaky cam. And this feels more like a fly on the wall documentary. I mean, aside from when they actually break out the video camera, whereas August Underground feels more like you're just following two assholes with a video camera.
Yeah.
It really does a great job at making you feel really fucking dirty. And Michael Rooker seems like just a random guy you could encounter on the street, which makes it a little more terrifying. And Rhett was talking about the, you know, the whole slasher genre. And I think a lot of people expected the director to make a very straightforward horror movie at the time. And I think that's why it sat on the shelf for 5 years, because they really didn't know what to do with this, because this kind of turned all slasher tropes and norms on their head.
Yeah, well, and truth be told, the beginning of the film, I would say maybe the first 10-15 minutes is a little bit like, I don't know.
Like I said, the first 20 minutes
I don't know what's happening here, because my initial thought was like, I don't like, is this just going to be everything going to be shown in flashback? Because I might not be into it. But the thing is I do believe that as you're getting through the movie, those scenes start to pay off, and
they start to get more intense.
I do believe the views start to come clear.
Stuff he starts doing, like, and the deaths start. You know, they start with just seeing the dead bodies and having there being flashbacks, but then as the film goes on, they escalate to more and more and more and more violence. But then, like, the one kill that seems like the most important, you don't see it all. Like, that's the one that's just only implied. You don't, even with the women at the beginning, you see bodies, you know, a cause of death, but like at the end, like, you have no idea what he did to her. You have no idea. You don't even know if it's, I mean, it's heavily implied that it's her in the back.
Well, she's not in the car.
Which, yeah, exactly. But I mean, we don't
know. Well, it makes Schrodinger's corpse. No sense for him to
have it be anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
for him to let her live either. Yeah. It makes no, it's totally not in keeping with
right, anything. Because, you know, even though he's like, you know,
with self-preservation or his appetite.
Yeah, exactly.
With either one of those things, yep. You know?
Yeah, to think that she was going to make it through through the night is a little bit laughable.
Right, there's that scene where she's like, well, I love you. And it's like, he's like, I guess I love you too. Like, I don't want to give spoilers, especially not this early. But
this just fucking happened. 35-year-old movie.
Well, if people haven't seen it, at least not at the beginning of the episode, you know. But yeah, this just fucking happened. Like, you love me. Like, okay, you're done.
Well, you know, at that point, she's coming off of a very like heightened emotional state, and I could feel maybe like the endorphin rush.
Don't defend her.
She's in defense.
You were just saying she sucks.
She does suck.
She hella sucks. And I mean, like, she's based off of an 11-year-old.
Don't defend
her. They made her significantly older in this, but like,
she's based off the niece of Otis instead of the sister, and she was supposed to be younger.
She's supposed to be 11 in real, like, his niece in real life was 11.
The real life story is much scuzzier, yes. And he sexually assaulted her.
Which he tried to do in this.
Right. No, but even the, what's his name? Henry did.
See, and it's weird because Michael Rooker was so protective of her, like,
it makes that's what I mean, it makes you there's more likability there, at least because of that.
You're, yeah, like, but then you realize he's not trying to, he didn't fucking care anyways, you know,
like. Well, I mean, I obviously they're trying to humanize the serial killer a little bit in this film, right? Which ultimately was for
what? Because then they go through what? And then, like, they just show him like encouraging,
because you're going to be spending that time with, because there, I think that it creates a it's possible for you to empathize more, because if you can't, if we can't see these, if we can't see serial killers as human beings, there's no hope of ever understanding it. If you can't understand it, you can't combat it, and you can't kind of prevent the kind of pathology that creates it. Like, that's what I mean. This is doing work that like was taken up later, years later, by shows like Mindhunter. And stuff like that.
But what good is developing that empathy if then you're just going to have scenes where he's basically teaching Otis how to kill? You know,
well, because objectively, I'm not defending people. Apparently are very fascinated by serial killers, right?
Right.
And also people are able to compartmentalize shit, man. Like a serial killer is able to have both competing things going on in their head, where on the one hand,
soldiers do this, soldiers of fortune do this.
On the one hand, they're killing people indiscriminately, but also like maybe fighting the temptation to fall in love with a person.
I get that people can have like two wolves inside of them. but
the answer is zero wolves. If you have two wolves inside of you, you are very sick.
You have two wolves inside of you, right? One wolf is gay. The other wolf is gay. You're gay.
That's the meme you're going with.
So yes, I understand that could be a thing, that there's two wolves inside of you. But what I'm saying
is, you should not have two wolves inside of you.
So what I'm saying is, what good
you should have zero wolves.
What good is the empathy when they build up this empathy? So you're like, oh, okay, maybe he's not a bad guy, but then he's like advocating senseless killing, where he's just
okay,
like,
okay. It's not empathy to empathize in the sense of, oh, he's a good guy. It's empathy that you can see him as a human being at all.
But then
that it opens the door at all,
right? But then that's what I'm saying is that later in the movie, that's kind of just negated, because like where you see him as like, oh, he can be a normal guy. He's a person with feelings and emotions and hopes and stuff. But then he's just like, well, let's just go out and kill somebody that decides to help us with our car. Let's just get two hookers to suck our cocks and then snap their necks in the car.
I think they're showing how idiosyncratic it is. Meaning like he might have hopes and feelings. He has views. He has a philosophy of life. Mm-hmm. However, he still can negate a bunch. His philosophy of life does not apparently include much respect for human life.
Right.
Right. But he still has some kind of standard. It's just a very personal standard. It's not a norm. It's not a standard other people would carry. But I mean, like, you know, it's worth exploring, like, how come a contract killer, for instance, you know, it's much easier for us to understand a contract killer's motives, because why? Because he gets paid.
Yeah.
So if you get paid to kill people, that's not insane. Well, but if you just enjoy killing people and do it for free, that's insane. See, that itself is sick and insane.
Yeah, see, I see where you're coming from, but I don't buy into that same camp. Because at least
it's objective, though.
At least with a contract killer, it's like
you get paid.
You're able to disassociate. It's like, okay, well, this is nothing personal.
But they still enjoy what they do, though.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they're just good at it.
And some people enjoy what they do.
Well, and you also have to understand.
Like, did Leon enjoy what he did?
I don't know.
He might have.
I think he did.
I think
he enjoyed not enjoying what he did.
Ah, there we go.
There it is.
He doubled back.
Which is masochism.
That's the duality, George.
That's when you break down
the two wolves.
Well, there are a lot of binary things to break down.
I don't even think it's duality. I think that there is a literal schism between the two. There's two divided fucking people in that head, right? There isn't like
cognitive dissonance.
There isn't one person who's got two thoughts. I think it's two different fucking people.
Two wolves,
basically.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so what they're at the end of the movie, obviously it's bleak as fuck. Like there's
which
no,
one
like,
is he gonna commit to?
There's no like, oh, he's gonna go live on the farm and they're gonna get her daughter, Lurleen, which is the best fucking yokel name I've ever heard of in my life. And it's like you finish it off and you're like, oh yeah, because there was no way he was gonna fucking let this girl survive.
There's no way.
Which to me, I go, okay, good. I didn't want them to drive off into the sunset.
I love that. Well, he literally drove off into the sunset.
You're right.
But like those are the endings that I crave. That's what I want so bad, because like it's just every movie that you see, especially American movies, like have that American
except
ending.
Except for The Conjuring, man. The last Conjuring film that you love. Woo-wee.
I don't even know what you're talking about. It didn't have a Hollywood ending.
It was, I mean, shit.
Well, if Anna and the Apocalypse taught us anything, there's no such thing as a Hollywood ending.
Yeah. I wish it wouldn't.
I forgot what I was saying because you talked about The Conjuring and it pissed me off again.
Bleakness.
Bleakness, bleak endings is what he craves.
Oh, yeah.
We got him there.
Because everything's got those really nice, like, wrapped up endings. Like, even fucking Martyrs, the American remake, it's like, okay, well, instead
the
of.
The remake,
just,
yes.
Yeah, instead of just being a really fucking bleak ending, it's like, oh, no. Everything's good because this is American. Same thing with Inside. Like, Inside, the French one, they fucking cut out the baby and she fucking dies. And in this one, like, no, she fights her in a pool and she survives and keeps her baby. So, like, the fact that the serial killer, like, murders, the very last thing he does is murders
and
dumps a body, and then he's just like, all right, cool.
Merdell.
Moving on. And, like, one thing I didn't recognize until, like, this viewing and reading some of the IMDb stuff is that there's no cops in this movie, and the director did that on purpose, like, to avoid a sense of comfort, you know, and, like, present this image of a world without law completely, because he seems to just kind of kill without any regard for getting caught.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it does have that, you get this feel of these sprawling areas of the Midwest, which, you know, yeah, cops exist, but these areas are too big, and some areas are too rural, and if you're moving, and these drifters... They're going through, and there are shit like there's all those killings on highways and so forth, like fucking dozens and dozens and dozens over decades, and they can't solve the shit. And then he starts talking about if you kill people different ways, like you shoot this person, you chop this person up.
And that's just fucking smart.
And then what it really does create, like you said, it dispels that sense of comfort. And it's actually, I'm glad I watched it after going on that trip, by the way.
Along with that.
Because I was thinking about driving through the desert at night.
And it's crazy for us because we live in one of the largest cities in the country, you know? So for us, like, there's just always people. There's always cops. There's always something around. But, like, so much of this country is just empty.
Well, when we were driving through roads. Utah at night.
That was it.
Well, and also, a weird thing happened. Behind us, when there's car lights behind you and they get far enough away, two lights become one.
Yep.
And I had been driving for so long and I looked at Sophia, I'm like, is that like a motorcycle light? And then we're looking at it and it's like, she's like, yeah, it must be. And then it would just disappear. And then it would pop back up again. And I'm like, who the fuck is this motorcycle guy? Like, just in the dark following us.
Ooh, and especially because you just saw Alone recently.
And all this shit. And so then, like, I realized, oh, that's a car light that's far enough away where I'm seeing it's one
drifting
light.
Drifting back.
And when it disappears, it's because the fucking landscape is going.
Dips we have, in the roads.
But I was, like, going on this whole thing in my head, like, here we go.
It seems like you watch too many scary movies.
Along with the lack of cops, I also, you know in movies like this, well, not movies like this, but in I don't know, slasher movies or whatnot. What you tend to see is when people are watching TV or listening to a radio, you hear like, oh, today a body was found. And, you didn't have any of that stuff. Nope. And I really like that because it creates, I know Chicago's a big town and it's a very busy city, but it's
stifling.
It shrunk Chicago to that room. And I really, really like that.
These people
stuff.
Don't fucking go. Exactly. They go to the liquor store. They go to get gas. They don't go very many places.
Yeah. Yeah. And what it also shows that, like, you can remain hidden in a big city like that. And, like, even though you're murdering people, you can still go undetected.
I like that fucking Henry is like the neck snapping champion of the fucking world, man. He's like, snap, 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 snap. You need a snap, snap. You need to snap, snap.
Snaps next, like I snap into Slim Jim.
And then Otto's like, check it out.
How do I do it? Dude, he's so bad at snapping next that he thought he actually hurt that girl in real life. The naked one that he snapped. He made her go to the ER just to like get checked out, like in real life. And she's like, I'm fine. He's like, I know I hurt your neck. I know I did.
I snapped it.
Please go. I snapped it.
Damn. that home invasion.
My snap neck.
That home invasion scene, actually disturbing. I like it.
Had I not seen all the shit I've seen, that would have been pretty rough. Especially like for its time, you know. It's like you watch Exorcist now and it's like, well, Exorcist's not super scary, but when you think of it like in its time, it's incredibly terrifying. So like seeing this home invasion family murder scene before I'd seen movies like Hate Crime, before I'd seen movies like The Purge and stuff like that, like or funny games. Like this would have been a the first Purge, like not
versus funny games. Not
the first Purge, but the Purge that came out first.
Yeah.
That the one that's actually a home invasion, that's a good home invasion. Yeah. I like that as a home invasion. It's not brutal like funny games or hate crime or other stuff like that, but like this one, that's pretty wild. But
the first Purge
I liked it better when it was called A Clockwork Orange, because that's a very reminiscent of the home invasion in Clockwork Orange.
So are you like basically gonna say Clockwork Orange is a horror film?
I mean, it could be.
It definitely could be.
I mean, Kindergarten
Cop. Horror adjacent.
Kindergarten Cop could be a fucking horror film if you just score it differently. Mm. That's a bit I've wanted to do on this show forever, is where we take movies like Kindergarten Cop and we just spin them.
What was the other bit you wanted to do?
I don't remember.
I don't know that you'd have to read 8 years of bits. No. It was like a podcast that you wanted to do that you were like, what are you buying? Or some shit like that.
With the one I'm talking about doing now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's debatable?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just stupid arguments about dumb shit. I recorded a pilot episode where it's like...
This guy.
Fucking... in 1998, the band Bare Naked Ladies claimed that vanilla is the finest of the flavors, and that's debatable. And then I just fucking argued with somebody for about 5 to 10 minutes about whether or not vanilla
is the finest. Who'd you argue with?
John. Yeah, it's a pilot episode.
That's just a mistake.
It was more of just a feeling it out. But that's why I haven't released it. I want to get like 4 or 5 of them. I'm tinkering with the format a little bit, but we're going to do an episode on whether or not a hot dog is a sandwich and why you're wrong if you think it's not. And
I was listening to that episode.
We're not getting into this.
And I really laid into that in that last episode when I heard it.
Question: is a ghost undead?
No.
Because this is binary duality bullshit. What is undead?
This is the premise of the show. It's just the stupid argument where it doesn't really matter either way. Because we were playing D&D, and then we were having a ghost, and Ollie had tried to do turn undead, and we're like, well, is a ghost undead? And then it sent me on this rabbit hole of like, what does undead mean? And it's like something of life. I'm like, okay, well, what is the definition of life?
And it's interesting because you have 3 terms there, actually, not 2. You don't have dead and undead. You have alive, dead, and now this new term, undead.
Right.
See, what the fuck does that mean?
I think undead needs to have some form of body.
I think it's reanimated.
Yeah, reanimated. Yeah. I don't think a ghost is reanimated. No. I don't think it counts as undead. I think it counts as dead with like an ethereal... Because like
vampires are undead.
Yep.
Zombies are undead.
Because they have physical form.
Wraiths? No, those are ghosts.
Liches are undead.
Liches are undead.
Jesus is a lich.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah, see, so like
Jesus is a banshee. When he comes back, he's be like,
it's dumb stuff like that where I think whoever's going to do the argument with me, I'm going to give you the topic 30 minutes before. You have 30 minutes to prepare and then we argue. But it's a gentleman's argument. So if you curse during the argument, you lose.
Oh, that's no fun.
This is a civilized discussion, you fucking ass.
Because it's all about the delivery and not the content. No,
but that's the thing. That's the thing is you present your argument in such a way to piss your opponent off so much that they're like, oh, fuck off, you know,
you should have just done debate team, man.
I wanted to do debate team, but I'm a textbook underachiever and slacker. So in high school, I ditched all the time and found ways around those classes.
I ditched all the time, too. But when I did do debate team every now and then, and then when I did debate team a little bit at community college, the thing was they picked a topic, right? And this was about the border. And you had to argue for more border control. And then you had to argue against.
See, that's too serious. I don't want that. I want dumb arguments.
No, but check what was interesting was, well, how do you actually feel about it? That's irrelevant. You have to argue for and you have to argue against. Now, when I argued about the one I agreed with, like, sure, I got indignant because I agreed with it. The interesting thing was when I was making the opposite argument, the one I didn't actually believe I agreed with.
You almost convinced yourself.
I convinced myself because I had set up my fucking stuff. I had set up my argument and it was...
That's what I love. The fucking mental chess game of arguments. That was
crazy.
Even if I don't believe what I'm saying, like if I can just pull shit out of my ass just to keep the argument going, oh, I will. I will.
And that's why we probably bullshit ourselves extremely well.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. I'm a good bullshitter.
What you're saying, to backtrack here, about that
home invasion. We should get back to the movie.
That home invasion scene, I like that was when they recorded. That's the one they recorded.
Yep.
And I liked how he starts rewinding it, and the guy's like, what are you doing? He's all, I want to watch it again. And it's like, because it gets very, for lack of a better, it gets very meta there, because these are, like, we're watching this movie. And again,
of people watching a movie.
We're watching this themselves. Movie of people watching the movie. And it's like, he wants to watch that again because he's a sick fuck. And it's like, you're watching this movie. You're a sick fuck. Yep. Like, there's this basic curiosity. Why do you slow down on the freeway? And when there's a crash, and it's like, you know, some people are on here listening, like, I hate it when people do that.
But everybody does it. Like, everybody slows down.
When they say, I hope everyone's okay.
Like, no, I don't. If I'm stuck in traffic, I'm like, they better fucking be mopping somebody off the freeway because this is bullshit.
That's mean.
I don't give a fuck. You're very mean. Everybody dies. Who fucking cares? Everybody dies. Matt, sooner or later, we're all on this little speck of dust in the fucking galaxy hurtling towards our own extinction, and people think there's a purpose behind it, and there's not. The purpose is hot food, cold drinks, warm things to put your genitals in.
That's around. Very manifest destiny-ish of you.
God has chosen me to lead the way to a new land.
I do want to balance your nihilism, which is usually Palestine, my bit. It is infinite in both directions. Godim. So yes, we're a speck of dust. However, if you go inside the atom, it keeps going and keeps going infinitely inside and outside. So nothing is bigger than anything. It's infinite in both directions.
I think we should just pull our dicks out right now and see about that.
He just said nothing. There are no dicks.
See, now he's backtracking because he knows he's going to put us to shame. He's like, nothing is bigger than anything. And then we pull our
just an arbitrary label.
We pull out the thimble and the thorn bush and the fucking hairy light switch over here. And Rhett's dropping his Louisville slugger on the table.
Yeah, right. Not unless it's hard.
He's just like, you guys ever seen those fucking hard salamis at the grocery store?
Summer sausage. Yeah. You ever had a summer sausage?
Hell yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. Dude, what is that? It's like that weird oil that coats your mouth. It's fucking disgusting, weird. Dude.
If you like summer sausage, get out of here.
Yeah.
That's the stuff like where they have those Christmas
gift baskets. The Hillshire Farm stuff. Yeah.
What the? Who is still asking for those?
People who are inconsiderate and don't know what to get people that they don't really like but need to get a gift for.
See, at that point, just give him a gift card.
I mean, yeah, for real. Give me coffee versus fucking sausage.
Because who's keeping that industry alive?
Like old people.
Boomers.
Old white bitches. Old
yeah, boomers.
I mean, to be fair, my great grandma, she used to send us like one of those summer sausages and like a couple cheeses every Christmas.
And those
like
cheeses are just horrendous.
They're so bad.
Yeah.
It's all bad. I think they put Ritz crackers in it for a while. And it's like, well, at least the Ritz are good.
That's fake cheese. But anywho, Henry Lee Lucas was apparently one of the biggest bullshitters of all time.
Really? That was one of the first episodes of last podcast that I actually listened to.
So he confessed to basically every crime.
100,000 crimes.
600.
A lot.
Yeah, he basically confessed to every single murder that had happened ever.
I mean, but like back then, it's not impossible. Well, you know, in days before the internet and before people could fucking tweet when they're bored.
He definitely killed some people.
He at least killed his mother. We know that for sure. But anything else is there are instances where he killed somebody when he was 100% in Florida in Texas.
Yeah. Well, that's mind bullets. That's telekinesis.
Otis also fucking
Otis Arungus.
He also exaggerated the number of kills he had.
Yep.
So that was interesting that they both found each other. They met at a soup kitchen. I don't know if you saw that. They actually met at a soup kitchen in the late 70s because they were fucking homeless drifters. And Otis was a prostitute. And those guys had a sexual relationship.
I'm not surprised.
So we need to remake the movie where Otis and Henry fuck.
I'm actually
he likes that,
but not. I mean, not even just the fucking. Like, make it a love story where there's the tension.
One docking scene.
There's just the tension where it's like, oh my god, are they or aren't they? Is this going to happen? And then it just builds up and builds up, and when they finally share that first passionate kiss, also, and they stare into each other's eyes.
This fucking asshole Becky.
Fuck Becky. Somebody needs a super kick.
Otis Arungus is like, dude, please, whatever you do, don't tell Henry that I told you he killed his mom.
She's like, so you killed your mom, huh?
And it's like, you,
oops, my bad.
You just signed your death warrant there.
Yeah, I stabbed her, but then I shot her.
Well, you want to know why, right?
Well, because
everyone is his mom. Everyone who he kills is his mom. So he confuses them all.
He just sees it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I get that.
Well, it's very solipsistic. Everyone outside him is outside him. So, and you know, they're not living in him.
So now if they got you on a handful of murders. Like, they knew you did them, right? Like, you just...
If they got you, on a handful
George,
of
George murders. Just goes serious about his, I would set a homeless person on fire for a burrito. It. And he sets five homeless people on fire. And they got him. They're
five
like,
burritos.
They're like, bro, we know.
We have you on camera.
Yeah, we know you you sizzled them homeless people. Would you just cop to a whole bunch more murders just to make yourself seem so much more fucked? Well, if you know you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail already.
That's kind of what Henry Lee Lucas's bit was.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He confessed to a bunch more because every time he did, he was given like strawberry milkshakes just because.
Yeah, well, because he's telling them what they want to hear, even if it's all a bunch of bullshit.
Because if you're a homeless drifter who killed a couple people, you're a sleazebag. If you're a serial killer, you're a celebrity,
right?
I mean, yeah, well, especially now.
That's what I mean. It's very, very problematic, right? And so, you know, just like if you kill a few people, you're a murderer. If you kill a million, you're a conqueror and all that.
Yeah, you build a million bridges, you're a bridge builder. You suck one dick, you're a cocksucker.
Exactly.
You fuck one goat.
Yeah, goat fucker.
You just take one too many cocks and all of a sudden.
No, all you need is one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Never mind. I was thinking of something else.
All you need is
true,
one.
True.
Yeah, I'm into it though. I'm glad you guys actually watched. You've never seen it before, right?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm glad y'all
saw
it.
I'd always seen the cover of it. And
it's one of those movies. It's like Cue the Winged Fucktard, where you're just like, you see it all the time and you're like, should I rent that? I don't know.
No,
and then you just don't. Because I think this is only my second time seeing it. I think the first time I saw it was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember being like, okay, it's pretty good. You know, like it's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I generally tend to avoid all stuff like from the 80s that's serious because like, it's slow and I don't give a fuck.
That's right.
But yeah, that's a good one.
You tend to try to avoid everything from the 80s?
Pretty much.
That's serious.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
He's going to be like, oh, you know, Big Trouble in China's from the 80s. You know, The Thing is from the 80s.
No, I just didn't even get what you're fucking saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Anything that's, like, I don't like serious things. Like, people think I'm doing a bit when I'm like, I watch horror movies and comedy. That's really
so you're a meatwad.
I mean, no. The meat wad, he's like, don't do it. But The Conjuring, he's like, <Hell yeah. laughs> he becomes fucking Krusty the Clown. Yeah, over
there
here.
You go,
goddamn jokester.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's worth a watch. I wouldn't call it an enjoyable film by any stretch, but it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, but it's very considerate, weighing in at a scant
120 minutes.
It's 80 something minutes.
Really?
Did you watch 120? Is there a 120 minute version? I watched the 30th anniversary.
You meant an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said, right? No, I said 120.
Yeah, yeah. It was like 83 minutes, something like that.
Which is about right.
Yeah, because I was getting a little like, okay, let's move this along,
I'm
folks.
I'm good on this.
Yeah.
Wait. Did you guys see what this director directed years later?
No.
He directed a few things, but the most noteworthy one was Wild Things.
What's her name?
With Denise Richards and Neve Campbell.
That's what we should do for the hot tub stream.
He is a
reenact Wild Things.
Trashy motherfucker. Is this guy, what a trashy motherfucker.
He's just like tits.
He knows what he likes. Yeah. And he's going to do it.
He's like doing a little bit of exploitation.
He's going to make you like it too. Okay, yeah, but I don't know what else he's made, but he's made two of the most talked about movies of all time. Henry, for what they are, like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer for being that, that's one of the most talked about movies of that kind. And then Wild Things, like,
it's a bit exploitation.
Didn't even Ebert like this film?
I believe so. I think quite a few people. It's generally really well received.
I read a thing that was talking about how this movie went to like a Telluride Film Festival in like 1989, 1990 or something like that. And I guess a guy came up to the director afterwards, just all distraught. And he's like, you can't do that. You can't make a movie with somebody so vile and just have them get away with no repercussions. And he just pauses and he goes, I think we just did. So,
right.
I mean, that's kind of his attitude on this whole thing. And
And again, that's exactly what occurs a lot of the time. So,
what? It's just people thinking, like, you can't do this?
Well, no, people do get away with vile things.
Oh, yeah. constantly. You know how many like murders are unsolved? How many like active serial killers are going on in the country at any given time?
Well,
like,
yeah, and I forget the exact percentage, but it was a figure I heard the other day, and then I looked it up to substantiate it. So I wish I knew it, but anyway, the majority of murders get solved within the first 72 hours.
Yeah, and then well, I thought it was first 48.
Maybe it is.
That's why they have that TV show, The First 48.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. No, I think you're thinking of The First 72.
Ah, that must be it. That's the sequel.
That's the Hard-On Collider.
That's cops pushed it to 72, so they didn't look so incompetent when they weren't solving so many murders.
The first 148.
Yeah.
Whoa, what are you doing?
The first 13 weeks.
Shit. Fuck. All right, well, that's it for Henry...
Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. Were you going to say Henry from the Book of Saw? Because I was.
Yeah. Henry from the Book of Saw.
That would be a whole
fucking Book of Saw.
That would be a whole another movie.
So that's next week, yeah. The Book of Saw.
Tune in next week when we do
is that
the Book Henry of Saw, from the Book of Saw.
Is that in theaters only?
I think yes, so. It is. I remember doing a news report a little while ago about how like some streaming service had picked up Lionsgate and it was going to start doing.
I got to go to the theater for this.
You're going to love it.
You want to go together?
Oh, no.
We can sit in the front. You can sit by yourself and I'll stare in the back.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. Episode 309. 309.
Yeah, maybe. We're getting close to 311, bro.
Oh, God.
You know we've always been down. Oh, just wait.
He's not.
Episode 311, me and George are going to sing the whole fucking show, bro.
That's good.
But we got to go, change a lot and then some.
Do it right. Do it.
Oh, what?
I send a me, Aaliyah. Whatever the background's the same, when a sauna. But I'm going to send it in the sea like cola bottles. Sam.
Good.
Dope.
That boy good.
Shit. All right, that's episode 309. This is Jorge signing up.
This is Matt.
And this is Rhett.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.